Aloha Airlines ends passenger service after 61 years. As you might expect, Go Airlines steps in to fill the gap. And Champion Air announces it will shut down May 31st. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 1st, 2008. The end of the month of March also brought the end of passenger service for Aloha Airlines. About 1,900 employees will be out of work. The bankrupt carrier's CEO, David Banmiller, called it an incredibly dark day for Hawaii. Quote, "Despite the groundswell of support from the community and our elected officials, we simply ran out of time to find a qualified buyer or secure continued financing for our passenger business. We had no choice but to take this action," unquote. Aloha also announced its air cargo and aviation services units will continue to operate while the U.S. bankruptcy court seeks bids from potential buyers. Last Thursday, Saltchuk Resources Incorporated announced its intention to buy Aloha's air cargo business. Aloha has blamed its plight on predatory pricing from Mesa's Go Airlines subsidiary. If Mesa has indeed priced its Go flights as loss leaders, it apparently has a deep reservoir of red ink. While the Aloha statement was still warm from the printer, Mesa announced Monday it will increase Go Airlines flights from an average of 54 per day to 94, starting today. Go will offer seats on Hawaii flights at $49 through Monday. Mesa finalized plans to launch service in Hawaii in 2005 and promptly shook up what had been a relatively stable, or some would say non-competitive, market dominated by two airlines, Aloha and Hawaiian Airlines. Go immediately grabbed a large share of the market. Then, last November, a U.S. bankruptcy court judge ruled that Go illegally used confidential information obtained from Hawaiian Airlines during its bankruptcy proceedings to launch the new competitor and ordered Mesa to pay up $80 million in damages. In filing for Chapter 11 last week, Aloha called the predatory pricing illegal. But wait, there's more. Champion Air has announced it will cease flight operations effective May 31st. CEO Lee Steele called it a sad day for the entire Champion family. Quote, "Our business model is no longer viable in a world of $110 oil, a struggling economy, and rapidly changing demand for our services. Those factors have also impeded our efforts to attract new capital and new investors. Accordingly, the management team and our board of directors have decided that the best course of action is to cease flying and to wind up our operations in a responsible, deliberate manner," unquote. Steele hinted late last year that the end was near, as the carrier faced the impending loss of all contract revenue by August of 2008. The airline has operated a fleet of relatively thirsty Boeing 727s, providing charter flights for Northwest Airlines subsidiary MLT Vacations and for 13 NBA teams. Champion says it has adequate funds to continue operations and to settle all outstanding financial obligations. The airline's current 550 employees will continue to receive their pay and benefits through May 31st. Reports from the scene of Sunday's crash of a Cessna Citation 501 business jet in Farnborough, England, indicate two former auto racers were among the five victims. According to numerous news reports, the jet departed Biggin Hill Airport in Kent, bound for Pau, France, on Sunday afternoon. The pilot issued a mayday call less than 5 miles after takeoff and apparently tried to make it back to Biggin Hill. A witness said the pilot appeared to pull up suddenly on approach to miss bystanders, then crashed into a vacant house. NTSB will assist in the investigation. The London Times reported the victims included 54-year-old David Leslie, a former British Touring Car Championship driver, and 63-year-old Richard Lloyd, the head of Apex Motorsport. Up next on ANN, Boeing acquires an interest in a 787 supplier. NASA says Discovery is a go for May 31st. And United finds two A320s with cross-wired main gear. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 1st, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Amid calls from both its unions and its customers to get a grip on supply chain issues, Boeing says it has agreed to acquire Vought Aircraft Industries' interest in South Carolina-based Global Aeronautica LLC, which makes fuselage subassemblies for the 787. Boeing said it hopes the move will enable it to overcome production problems that have delayed the delivery of the first aircraft by about a year. Boeing announced several days ago that customers would get an updated delivery schedule near the end of the first quarter, but so far has said nothing. Thomson Financial reports Japan's All Nippon Airways, originally due to begin receiving its 787s this May, will probably have to wait now till early 2009. Under the terms of the deal announced on Friday, Boeing said Global Aeronautica would become a 50-50 joint venture between Boeing and Alenia North America. That's a subsidiary of Italy's Alenia Aeronautica. The company added that Vought, which is part of Dallas-based Carlyle Group, would continue to produce the aft fuselage for the 787 at its site near Global Aeronautica in North Charleston. Boeing said the deal, terms of which were undisclosed, would close following receipt of regulatory approval and would not affect its current financial guidance. On Monday, NASA announced it's now targeting May 31st as the launch date for the STS-124 mission to deliver the large Japanese Kibo pressurized module to the International Space Station. The agency cited the need for extra time to get Discovery's modified external fuel tank to Florida and a desire to give its employees Memorial Day weekend off. Liftoff is scheduled for about 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Discovery's mission is the second of three to deliver components of Kibo. Mark Kelly will command the seven-member crew, which includes Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency astronaut Akihiko Hoshida. The Chicago Tribune reports United Airlines has found crossed landing gear wires, which may have interfered with anti-skid systems in two recent incidents involving Airbus A320 airliners. The inspections were part of a recent FAA audit of maintenance operations at 118 U.S. airlines, ordered after the recent issue with missed fatigue crack inspections on Southwest Airlines 737s. In United's case, one A320 veered from a runway into a snowbank February 25th at Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Another veered off a runway and hit airport lights October 9th after landing at Chicago's O'Hare International. No one was seriously injured in either incident. Bloomberg reports the National Transportation Safety Board and officials with United are now working to answer a question which will certainly prove embarrassing to someone. Was the wiring mistake made by mechanics or the factory? Airbus issued a preemptive statement. In an email, spokesman Clay McConnell said the manufacturer recommends maintenance procedures that include, quote, a process to verify that the wiring is properly aligned. We are confident that adherence to the Airbus procedures will ensure that no aircraft re-enter service with improperly aligned wiring, unquote. Airports in the U.S. are prohibited by the Airport Noise and Capacity Act of 1990 from imposing restrictions on access without FAA approval. Neighbors of Bob Hope Airport in Burbank, California, are preparing to ask the FAA to clear a 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. curfew on most aircraft operations. If they're successful, the airport would become the first since the 1990 law was passed to get approval to restrict Stage 3 jet operations. An 8-year cost-benefit study found a curfew would cost airlines, cargo carriers, and passengers about $55 million, but save $67 million. Mostly from a reduced need for residential acoustical treatment near the airport. A positive cost-benefit finding is required to ask for restrictions, but the study's results do not guarantee the FAA will approve them. Public comments are now being accepted for 45 days. The only exceptions to the curfew would be aircraft involved in law enforcement, firefighting, medical emergencies, the military, or those with in-flight emergencies. Still ahead, while the Conquest 2 is apart anyway, let's add RVSM. A brazen citation thief will do federal time. And 17 western states will reopen to seaplanes. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 1st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Representatives with Avadyne and Weststar Aviation told ANN yesterday the two companies have launched a joint engineering effort to provide Envision Alliant retrofit avionics customers with reduced vertical separation minimum capability. Tom Harper, Avadyne's Director of Marketing, calls the partnership a logical step. Quote, the Envision integrated flight deck with RVSM is perfectly suited for Conquest II aircraft, and Weststar is the leading maintenance facility for these aircraft. Weststar is currently performing supplementary inspection document inspections on several Conquests each month, and since the inspections require removal of the interior, it's an ideal time to install upgraded flight decks and RVSM hardware as well, unquote. Rick Brainerd, general manager of Weststar, says owners routinely fly the Conquest II above 29,000 feet, prompting requests for RVSM capability. Quote, we approached Avadyne about adding RVSM capability for the Envision Alliant suite, and they have been extremely responsive in making this program a success, unquote. Avadyne and Weststar began working together in January to interface the system to an RVSM-capable air data computer. Program completion is anticipated by mid-year. Remember Daniel Wolcott, the pilot who earned the distinction of being listed as one of ANN's annual Aero Bozos, is going to spend 18 months as a guest of the federal government. Nearly 2.5 years after stealing a citation for a multi-state joyride, the pilot has been sentenced to serve another year and a half in jail to complete a 4-year sentence with credit for time already served in Georgia and Florida. The 22-year-old Wolcott originally faced federal charges and the 6 state charges after he stole a $7 million Citation 7 from a Florida airport in October 2005 and flew to Georgia's Gwinnett County Field. There, he met 5 friends and took them on a joyride over the Peach State, landing back at the closed airfield and abandoning the plane. The 5 passengers told officials Wolcott called them and told them to be at the Georgia airport early Sunday to meet him and go flying. He then caught a commercial flight back to Florida to resume his business as a charter pilot before being caught. Wolcott, who was not rated to fly the citation, was described in media reports as a talented and gifted pilot. We'll see if that impresses his cellmates. AOPA tells ANN there's good news for seaplane pilots. The Bureau of Reclamation intends to return seaplane access to more than 400 lakes in 17 western states. Thanks to the efforts of AOPA, the Seaplane Pilots Association, and local pilot groups and state aviation agencies, the Bureau has agreed to change a rule that was never intended to bar seaplanes on its lakes. The Bureau was asking for documentation that seaplanes had used the lakes in the past before allowing their use in the future. AOPA argued the Bureau did not conduct proper outreach to local agencies and had developed a solution looking for a problem. The Bureau agreed and says it will issue a revised rule within the next 2 months, which will allow seaplanes to operate as they did before 2006. Finally, this just in. It looks clear now just how much feelings have been hurt at Boeing by criticism of delays in the development of the Dreamliner. It says here Boeing has shocked the aviation community with an announcement it will discontinue further development on the composite-bodied 787. In his speech to Boeing line workers and assembled media at its wide-body production plant just moments ago, Boeing Commercial Airplane CEO Scott Carson said the confluence of fastener shortages, systems integration issues, and supplier woes pushed Boeing towards scrapping the 787 program, and one final straw broke the camel's back. Quote, with the Air Force's decision to award the KCX tanker bid to Northrop Grumman and Eads, we're left with a 767 production line that, as it stands, would be shut down in just a few years. We love the 767 and feel the airframe has many, many years left in it. Many trouble-free years. Years using parts that suppliers are used to building, from materials they're used to working with, assembled with common fasteners, with no need to transport large body sections on board expensive converted 747s, unquote. Carson says the company's focus will now shift to convincing existing Dreamliner customers to switch their orders to a new plane it's calling the 767-500 Miserliner. The ultra-long-range aircraft is set to enter service by 2016. When asked for his reaction to the news, Airbus CEO Louis Galois said, quote, you fools, are you looking at the calendar? Unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News for April 1st, 2008. You didn't think we'd get through the whole thing without a joke, did you? Today is the last day I'll be producing these AeroCasts from my home studio in Oregon. I'm going to miss being two blocks from the Portland-Hillsboro Airport, especially when the Sky 8 TV helicopter makes its low pass every weekday morning about 4:22 a.m. But I expect to enjoy spectacular mountain flying from my new home in Utah. Wish me luck. As soon as I put down this microphone, I'm pulling out with a U-Haul trailer with household belongings and my partially completed sportcopter. The trailer has a 1982 data plate on it. And there, through all the dents in the very faded paint, you can still barely see the company's old motto, Adventures in Moving. What were they thinking when they chose that as a motto? Well, anyway, if you hear the sounds of a truck stop behind tomorrow's AeroCasts, you'll know Adventures in Moving didn't go so well. Remember to check out today's ANN special feature. With production underway and units shipping as of yesterday, I thought it might be a good time to share with you the ideas, philosophy, and industry predictions of Aspen Avionics President and CEO John Uzukai. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Don't let anybody pull your chain. Look at the calendar and have a clear and unlimited day.